Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money, having a great conversation with Avery Shenfeld, chief economist at CIBC, about the budget, Faisal. We talked a little bit in that last segment about sort of the high-level economics of the budget, but there's a whole bunch of budget specifics here, right? You asked a question earlier about who does this budget benefit, and we sort of started to talk about that. Avery, maybe let's get into some of the specific details of the budget, and maybe give me some of the highlights, or give us some of the highlights of what you thought were of particular interest.
So for individuals, there wasn't, of course, a big, massive tax cut in anyone's future, at least in this budget, but there were some specific credits that the government has offered to help certain people in the country. So if, for example, you're now working and but you're thinking that at some point you'll need some retraining, you want a career shift at some point, down the road you will be able to basically get a tax credit to help cover roughly half the cost of a modest dose of training. So you're going to be basically accumulating $250 a year in a fictitious account. Now, you don't actually have to deposit the money. And then down the road, beginning in, 3 years from now, you'll be able to withdraw what's there and get a credit for retraining. So that's certainly a benefit to people thinking that their career might need a shift at some point, or they may need some additional skills. There was also a new and somewhat nifty home buyers plan aimed at helping first-time home buyers of relatively moderate income or less. I don't think this is a huge game changer for people who work in cities with high house prices. Ironically, the limits on this program rule them out, really, for right. people trying to buy a house in Toronto or Vancouver. But for someone in Calgary or Edmonton, they may be able to get an interest-free mortgage for 5 or 10% of their house price, 10% if it's a new home, 5% if it's an existing home. That might help in terms of the monthly payments. They're also letting you withdraw more from an RRSP, provided you basically pledge to pay it back without paying tax, to help you with the down payment. So that limit is going up to $35,000. It used to be $25,000.
I'm a bit curious about this, and Avery, you may or may not have an opinion on this, but I'm curious as to if you do have an opinion on the home buyer's plan, sort of pulling out of an RRSP, which is a retirement savings account, to buy a home today. And I don't know, what I don't know is the repayment effectiveness. How often are people taking money out of their RRSPs to buy a house today and not recontributing to their RSP to fund their retirement? I don't know if you know that or not.
So I don't have the statistics, but this is a specific plan. So you could, of course, withdraw money from your RSP, mm-hmm. pay the full tax on it, mm-hmm. and then use it for a down payment. But most people will try to avoid that if they can, because the whole point of putting money in the RSP was to defer the income tax when you did that, and you're paying it up front. What these plans let you do is essentially you're investing some of your own RRSP in your own mortgage. So you're almost lending yourself money from your own RRSP. Then you have to pay it back over a 15-year period, starting 2 years after withdrawal was made. So you do have to start making those payments. It's not, in other words, an interest-free loan. It's a loan that you have to start paying back. Otherwise, you get hit by a tax bill. And usually, being hit by a tax bill is an incentive to get on with paying it back. So I think it's a reasonable approach for some people. Ideally, it's sort of a last resort. And what I always tell people is, rather than rely on schemes like this, buy a house that's a little bit cheaper.
Right.
There's no sin in saying, I'll buy a house without the second bathroom if that's what I can afford. If that's what I can afford without taking money out of my RSP, or indeed, if that's what I can afford without relying on, that particular government program.
Right.
You clearly haven't shared a house with Dave Popowich, and that's why you're saying that. Because if you did, you'd ask for not only a second but a third bathroom as well. So, what's the economic impact? Is this actually benefiting the economy when we have a home buyer's plan, or when we're trying to incent individuals with a certain income level to be getting into the house? Like, are we doing them a disservice, or are we helping not only them but the economy as well with programs like this?
Well, you could say it's a helping hand, but really I'd say it's more of a helping finger, because it's not worth a whole hand. You know, this, if you do the math, they've set up a limit on how many people can get this program. And by putting restrictions on how much income you can have and how big the mortgage can be, it adds up to something like 0.5% of all mortgages originated in a given year. So we're not talking about a game changer at all for the Canadian housing market. So yes, people who benefit from, for example, that interest-free loan from the CMHC will be happy with that. But we're not talking about, you know, millions of Canadians or anything close to that. We're in the thousands of people. So it's a helping hand for a small number of people, or a helping finger for the economy as a whole. It's really the federal government trying to show it's doing something about a problem that really comes down to just housing supply in some of the busiest cities in the country. We need to get more housing built. We need to improve public transit so that people can live further away, because that opens up more land for housing development. Those are the real solutions, not really these programs per se.
So, Avery, if you were to be in charge of the budget prior to it was announced, what would you have wanted to see in this budget that would have helped economically? I think us in Alberta are feeling things a little bit different because we're kind of getting hit from both ends. We have got problems within our province. We've got problems that we see that are not benefiting Alberta from the federal government. So there's a lot of anxiety, I would call it, here in this province. Yeah. So if you were king for the day, sir, what would you do in the budget that would be different than what was already announced?
So I really don't think that some of the issues are budgetary issues. So for Alberta, the biggest thing the federal government could do would be, of course, what they're trying to do, which is get a pipeline built. I mean, they've laid out billions to buy it. They clearly want to get the pipeline started because their intention is to sell that pipeline. It's not saleable until construction is underway, and that would certainly be a help. I think there's a need for a much broader review of both tax and regulatory policy in Canada with a view to trying to understand better what makes Canada competitive or not competitive internationally, and seeing which of those things can be addressed. I really wasn't expecting to see that in an election year budget. You know, corporate tax reform is not a vote winner with the average voter.
Right.
But I think for the next government, not just again on the tax side, but on the regulatory front, we need to take a deeper dive into why companies are choosing Texas rather than Alberta in the energy sector, why they're building car plants in Kentucky and Tennessee, but not in Ontario. It's a national issue of national importance.
We'll leave it there, Avery. I think that's well said. Thank you very much for your time and helping us understand sort of the nuances and some of the high-level implications of the federal budget.
You're welcome.
We've been joined by Avery Shenfeld. He's the chief economist at CIBC. Faisal, we've got a seminar coming up. I mean, let's face it, nobody lives on after-tax income. We live on nobody lives on pre-tax income. You live on after-tax income. And so the budget and taxes are very important to the overall success, right? Proper structure of a retirement plan.
Yeah, there's a lot of misunderstandings and misrepresentation in a portfolio when it comes to tax. Mm-hmm. We're going to demystify that on Tuesday, March 26th, 8:30 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Is emotional baggage ruining your retirement? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.